probably run till about 5 o'clock this evening, so you won't have to go anywhere. Say amen. I shared like that the first service, several people went, what? It's not happening. If you have your Bibles, I want you to turn to Ezekiel 22. Find Ezekiel 22. This morning I'm going to deal with intercession, so I want you to buckle in. Be ready to go. I'll cover a lot of scripture and a lot of ground this morning. I couldn't finish all of it in first service. But as we pray, there needs to be the power of persistence. Spurgeon said, by perseverance, a snail reached the ark. In Ezekiel 22, tell me when you've got it. Verse 30. Ezekiel 22, verse 30. So I sought for a man among them who would make a wall and stand in the gap, stand before me on behalf of the land, that I should not destroy. But I found, how many did he find? It's a sad day when God looks for people to pray, to seek his face, to build up a hedge, and he found no one. Are you with me? The church can operate and have a bunch of services, and that's all nice, but are we seeking his face? We have to come in, as Allie was singing, alluding to, that we have an encounter with God. That's why we're here. I know we're doing it together, but it's a time to serve him and worship him. I shared with the first service, the reason why I shut my eyes, it doesn't make me more holy or transforms any area, but it shuts out everything else. It gets me to focus in on, because we need to move away from the noise. Our phone can be some noise. Are you with me? There needs to be a time in your own personal life that you have a devotion with God. That this time is the Lord's time. No matter you have children, you don't have children, you got work, you got this, there needs to be some God time. Are you with me? There needs to be some God time. The Lord needs our prayers. Not that he needs anything, but he needs our prayers. He desires that we partner with him. The definition of intercession by Webster is this: to go between or pass, to mediate. Jesus is the ultimate intercessor. In Hebrews 3, verse 1, therefore, holy brethren of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest of our confession, Jesus Christ. He is still interceding. That's why if we sin, we can ask him, Lord, forgive me, and he will forgive us. He'll go to the Father and make intercession. Isn't that awesome to know? Isn't it awesome that we have a high priest that goes before us? But our intercession is like we need to pray. In Job chapter 9, verse 32, Job was a man of prayer. He looked for a mediator. Prayer releases God to perform his word. The producer simply wants to distribute through us. Now, what did it take to get your life right with the Lord? What did it take for the Holy Spirit to come over you and change your will that you said yes to him? That took some work. That took some prayer. How many ex-heathens do I have in here? I'll get that hand up. See, when God met you, he met you where you're at. And notice what the Holy Spirit's doing now. But since you got saved, there's more to get touched and saved. Right now, we need to pray and step it up. We need to stand in that gap. We need to intercede. And just not hope it's going to go away. The Lord wants to flow through us. When it comes to intercession, we are tied together concerning those things. Since Adam has sinned, all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. But the gift of God's eternal life. I don't want one person to go to hell, not one. I want my life to represent who Christ is, and I want to pray accordingly. All of us have been given the ministry of reconciliation. The Father needs a human Jesus. Jesus needs us human here. Jesus paid the price. He paid the price in his flesh. He offered himself for sin once and for all. Now we offer ourselves, Lord, an opportunity to use us. You know, when you place yourself in the hands of a living God, your life becomes complete and powerful. No matter what your seed source is, no matter what job you have, you become powerful in Christ. Intercession creates a meeting, The word in the Hebrew means this: to meet with God. As we begin to pray corporately together as well as individually, we meet with God. We have to look at those times and say, you know what, there's no better or no greater person who I'd rather be than meet with God. Would you agree? Now, the Bible says that this house is supposed to be called a house of prayer for all nations. How come that's the last thing Christians do at times? I'm just talking about not a little just bless me prayer, bless the food, amen, let's move on. I'm talking about seeking him that he may be found. Calling people out before him. Listen, all of you I encourage, if you don't know all your relatives, find out their names. Write them down. I know sometimes you get distant cousins that you don't think about very often. I want you all to begin to take those names, people that you know, people that you associate with, maybe somebody you go to work with or go to school with, write their names down. Start to pray for them. Start to cover them in prayer. Amen? Dare I say, if you can find your old yearbook, wherever that may be, break that open and begin to cover their names. Some of their names may change, but instantly their faces can come back. My wife and I were digging through some boxes. How many knows whenever you move, there's always stuff in a box? It's endless. Well, my wife found this. I found a prayer list from 1985. Names on there. And you know what? As soon as I begin to read some of the names, their faces just flash back. You know what? I'm going to take that list and cover it again. How many of those people still need prayer? I don't know where most of these folks are, but as we pray, listen, that word to meet, paga, P-A-G-A, is frequently used as a battlefield term. In Judges 8, verse 21, in 1 Samuel 22, verse 17, it's like they come to meet. Intercession can be violent, sometimes downright ugly. Sometimes you got to get down and say, you know what, Satan, you're not taking my family. I'm going after saying, the name of Jesus, your term is gone. You're going to stop now. There's boundaries in prayer. Jesus battled over sin, and I want you to know that he conquered. When he screamed, "It is finished," you know what? It was finished. But notice the great pain that he had, the great price that it took to bring us back. That we don't have to walk in that he did. We can walk in his victory. All of us have been given authority to trample over all the works of the enemy. I'll get that in a minute. But we have to exercise that. When you start to pray for people, you become unselfish. Come on. It's an opportunity to get out of ourselves. Not just, Lord, I need this, I need that, I need this. How about they need it too? Lord, you bless them with that. God, you prosper them. Lord, I want them to walk in health. You start to feel that area. You start to look at them. It becomes unselfish. And believe me, by nature we are selfish. If God's changing that, you're starting to walk with the Holy Spirit. I love it that even Jesus himself has prayed for me. On the cross and the garden, he said this, "Father, I not only pray for these, but all that you'll give me." Isn't that cool? How much more now has he been interceding? Oh, if there's anybody that Jesus has prayed for, it's me. How many have made one mistake in here? Two mistakes, 10 mistakes. I'm glad that he has forgiven me more than once. But when I look at our life, we have to realize that what he paid is for the world too. I don't want any promise to be null and void. Lord, if you paid it on the cross, then I want to walk in that. He is not willing that any should perish, but all come to repentance. That should be the heart cry of the church saying, you know what? We're not willing that anyone should perish. Amen? Is this good? In Isaiah 6 verse 1 says, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he's what?" Somebody say, anointed me. When you become anointed by God, there's power there. The anointing is to preach the gospel, to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to those who are captive, and open prison doors. Those that are bound, to begin to break those things. In Isaiah 53, verse 5, "He was wounded for our transgressions, bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed." These aren't just like null and void things or nice stories. They're scriptural proofs of what he did. When it comes to the kingdom, we have keys. Keys to unlock those things. There's been a transfer of authority. In Matthew 28, verse 18, Jesus came and spoke, "All authority has been given unto me in heaven and in earth." In 1 John 3, 8, where he died for this, it says, "The devil sins from the beginning. For this is the purpose the Son of God was manifested, to destroy the works of the devil." that, Lord, I want to see your power evident, that Satan's power is broken. Our eyes were open one day that we got our life right. The Greek word for destroy is this, to means legal and physical. The legal means this, to pronounce and determine something that is bound, no longer bound. Isn't that cool? That in Christ you can be free to dissolve and void any contract that's been legally binding you. Adam sinned. When Jesus came, he broke that contract. What was holding you back now is free. Isn't that cool? I love that. There's also the physical side to this. It means to melt, to dissolve, to break in pieces something that is bound. So not only physically, but legally, you have been set free by Christ. Amen? There's no chains holding me. Not only legally that my sins against me, it's been blotted out, or the physical side, I'm free in Christ. Now, we all have keys, true? How many have a key to your vehicle? Now, I like it when the key can be in your pocket and you just press a button and it starts. That's cool. Amen? That's cool. Punch in a number, don't need a key. That's cool. But locks allow you to either stay out or allow you to get in. True? So if you have the keys to the kingdom, what's locked can be opened. And I'm just not talking about the lock being open, then you don't try the door. A lot of Christians like to unlock it, but not walk through it. I want you to unlock it and walk through all the fullness. Are you with me? God says, I've given you those keys that spiritually, physically, all those areas, you now have been delivered from being captive to setting other people free too. Now, how many have seen that drinking fountain in the hallway? I shared with the first service when we first got this building. I went up to it and I pressed the little push button and it always shoot me in the eye. The water just went shoot. And I knew that, but I kept doing it. Every time, I didn't drink it all the time, but every time I'm like, ugh. For a whole year, you figure you do it after two or three times, you get it right. Well, one day I got so frustrated with it, I actually laid down on the floor. And I looked up underneath, and way up inside there's a valve. And I started to turn it closed and kept hitting the handle until the water just went up a little bit. Amen? Now, how many here ever know it was broken, but you still dealt with it for a long time? One, two, three. You know it's broken, but you still dealt with it. You could have fixed it, but no, you still dealt with it. So I finally dealt with it. Well, when I look at prayer, it's like, isn't he the water of life, the fountain of life? Yes or no? Then we become his water dispensers. That if somebody is thirsty, you know what? They can press the right button and water can flow. Not salt water, which is nasty to taste, but fresh water. So in prayer, I become that. It's like all of a sudden when I'm praying, I become that tanker truck. And then I got a hose fill. Believe me, it needs to be refilled often. The more you labor, the more you how quick it drains. But there's always a cup ready. How many knows that we need that? We can be the water of life. But God's going to flow through us. We just can't be like a dam that holds it back. We got to be like a stream. When I look at others in Romans 12, verse 15, rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep, to bear one another's burdens. I shared with the first service this, just don't carry somebody's burden, carry them away. When you pray, you're carrying the burden away. That gives freedom, true? It's like you're burdened down, I'm burdened, but we're carrying the burden, brother. Oh, that's nice. Let's carry them away. Let's carry them till they're gone. Prayer can allow you to intercede in such a way. I believe that Jesus prayed and there was power. The church also will pray and there's power. When God taught the early church, you know how he started the church? Go wait in the upper room till you receive power. That's what I want you to do. He told it to a whole multitude, only 120 showed up. It's amazing, sometimes you can hear the same message and go on dull ears. Amen? Lord, I want to hear. When you come to church, be spiritually minded. Lord, what are you speaking to me? And never feel like I'm picking you out of the group because you're not that good. And I don't think of you when I prepare it. If the Holy Spirit convicts, that's his job. Everybody say amen. When I look at carrying these burdens, we bear one another up. Colossians 3:13, bear one another and forgive one another. And Ephesians 4:2, with all lowliness and gentleness, suffering, bearing one another. You start to undergird them. Whatever needs they have, you start to bombard heaven. You start to see those things change. Carry those burdens away. Lift them off, amen? You that are strong are to bear those who are weak. Because all of us in here have had times where we've needed one another. Amen? I mean, it's good to be able to rely. You need to stand. Somebody can stand with you. They may not totally feel what you're going through, but it's nice to know somebody's there. Somebody's thinking about you. I share with the first service, as your pastor, I want you to pray for me. I need you to pray for me. My role is different in some capacities than others. Then pray for your pastor. Amen? Listen, Satan leaves a church alone that's just doing your own thing, going through your programs. He's already got that area. But anybody who steps out in faith, anybody who's reaching people to see love, becomes under attack. But greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. And hear me, the attacks are consistent. They try to slander you. They try to weaken your hands. They try to get you discouraged. Notice those things that come. Is it weakening your hands? Is it coming against you? Are you with me? Or is it just lulling you to sleep? It's always in those arenas. The same way they attacked Nehemiah building the wall is no different than today. Amen? I've had people tell me to my face, why am I praying for revival? Their excuse is, well, God's just going to do what God wants to do. That nullifies all prayer. No, God wants to reach this planet, and he's looking for somebody. We started the scripture off. He looked over the planet for somebody to stand in the gap, and he couldn't find anyone. What a sad day. Well, you know what? He's going to find somebody here at Lighthouse. He's going to find somebody here who's going to bring down strongholds, because we all need it, and we all want the benefit of it, but we need to pay the price for it. We just can't wish it away, hoping it's going to work. We need to pray. But as there's a river of life flowing, it's like healing salve. It's like, Lord, let me see, as you say in Revelation, first three chapters. Eye salve so I can see. Lord, let me see what's going on today. We need to be spiritually minded. Amen? Now, when I finally got the sink to work, I finally pressed it and it didn't squirt me in the eye. And you know what? I was happy. Amen? And I thought to myself, why didn't I do this 11 months ago? But sometimes we deal with things, don't we, until we spend time dealing with it. Like whatever you got to struggle with, deal with it. Nobody can judge you like you. You know your weaknesses. Now, if you need to bear that so somebody agrees with you, fine. But I want your weaknesses to start being in the rearview mirror. Start to drive from them. Satan will bring back old temptations. There's no doubt about it. But look at them like you did before. Nope. The world is just as lost as when I left it, so I'm moving from it. When it comes to intercession, there needs to be a roar in the camp. In Joel 3, verse 16, it says, the Lord will roar from Zion. Amos 1, verse 2, and the Lord will roar from Zion and utter his voice from Jerusalem. I've seen sometimes when we start to generate prayer, it's like a rumble begins to come. The line of the tribe of Judah rises. How many knows Jesus isn't some wimpy pencil neck little dude? He isn't some weak guy. He's just like, oh, God barely beats Satan. Oh, can't take another one. No, he's King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He is so powerful that he destroys the enemy with the brightness. His glory destroys them. How many knows that's a pretty awesome God? When you'll see him, it's King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He is the commander of the host. He is truly the Lion of the tribe of Judah. In Luke chapter 10, verse 19, I give you authority to trample over serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, that nothing shall harm you. Isn't that cool? I've seen when that roar begins to generate, the enemy's got to flee. It's like it makes him so uncomfortable. Which leads me again, the next area, there needs to be a shout in the camp. Somebody say a shout. I've seen when people come together and there's a shout in the camp, the enemy's like, man, he can't stand that. It begins to work against him. But when I look in prayer, you know what? Prayer builds boundaries. It's like, no, you know, the enemy's not coming here. We pray, my wife and I, Lord, no plague come near my dwelling place. Nothing that evil said in my house in Jesus' name. How many knows there's boundaries there? Every place has struggles. You know what? We need to pray hedge of protection over our children and our families. I've been spared in my lifetime several times already. Things that should have took me out, God did a move. Amen? I'm serious. I shared with some of you, I was working in this construction place. We were building these giant steel walls. They were big container walls. And my boss forgot to weld the hook in. What we did is we built the wall. It was probably about 25 feet long, probably 8 feet tall. And we weld the hook in. We had these giant overhead cranes. And we'd build the wall and have a hook in the end. We'd stand the wall up and push it off, build a new wall. Well, it was a morning he forgot to weld the hook in. So the pressure of it lifting it like this, it got all the way up. And the Holy Spirit spoke to me as plain as day. He said this, run! And I remember having my welding helmet. I had we had big overhead MIG welders. I remember just throwing it down and coming back. The wall fell. The hook pulled out, and that wall fell. Wham! Right on the table. Had I been standing there, it would have crushed me right there. I remember running, and then I hit the floor, and I looked back, and that wall went wham! Wham! Tons of steel hit that thing. How many think, like, it's time for me to go home? Huh? Amen? And I remember going, thank you, Jesus. Yes or no? To the rest, oh, we're so glad you didn't get crushed. That was the word. Man, I'm just so glad you didn't get hit. I'm thinking, man, thank you, Jesus. There are times you need to respond to that inner working of the Holy Ghost and not ignore the voice of God. Would you agree? Well, for about the next 3 hours, it was like this. And every time I asked, did you weld that hook in? Yes or no? You weld that hook in. How many know sometimes it's a good reminder? But will God help you? Yes or no? Listen, he'll help you. He'll help you in those boundaries, boundaries in prayer. No violators allowed. Build boundaries of protection over people and family. Psalm 91. Build those areas. Start to speak that. Say, you know what, Satan? You're not taking my family. You're not taking my home. I come against you in the name of Jesus. There are boundaries set up that you cannot violate in Jesus' name. Amen? We're wise in this church. We watch out for those that may cause evil. But listen, we also need a covering of prayer. Amen? Physical things do not change a spiritual dimension. We got to enter into both. Be wise. Do what we can in the natural, but make sure we're in the spirit too. Is this good? Right now, I share with the first service, a lot of my prayers right now are coming against opposition. There are times where we'll pray and things will happen, things will hear, and it's, oh, that's all cool. Hey, answer a prayer. Oh, that's awesome. Yes, I agree. But there are also times where it seems like nothing's moving. It's like a battle. It's like a pushing on. It's like pushing against. You may know what I'm talking about? Keep pushing. Through faith and patience, you inherit the promises. So keep pushing in those areas. Don't give up when there's opposition. Keep pounding those areas. Have others agree with you. If one can put 1,000, two can put 10,000. So start to couple it. If we put a church together praying for souls, you know what's going to happen? Souls. We're going to see those things happen. We start to dwell in that secret place. In Psalm 91, verse 1, he who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. That word abide means this, to spend the night. Now I'll read it this way. You shall spend the night under the shadow of the Almighty. I don't want to be there. Like a hen covers a little chicken's ear. You're like tucked underneath. You're nice and warm and secure. I mean, that's the closest you'll get. What can harm you when you abide under the shadow of the Almighty? How many want to spend the night there? Huh? How many knows right there is good timing and deliverance from any temptation? Amen? Even Satan had to leave Jesus to look for a more opportune time. I could see him out fasting in prayer 40 days and 40 nights. Satan bringing every temptation possible. And Jesus, nope, it's written. Nope, it's written. Nope, it's written. And Satan going, ugh. For the first time, he couldn't trip up somebody. We would all fell way before that. Even sinless Adam and Eve still fell. But Jesus now stood. We can stand in his righteousness. It's not a game, eternal life. The more we begin to pray, the birthing process happens. Listen, babies don't produce babies. Mature people produce new converts. That means the church is of full age. It's starting to be mature in those things. In John 7, verse 38, he who believes in me, as the scripture said, out of his heart shall flow rivers of living water. So there's a maturity process. We start to give out. But in Galatians 4, 19, my little children, whom I've labored in birth again until Christ be formed in you. Well, we need to do that too. Now, I share with the first service, I thank God I'm not a woman. Giving birth, glory to God. How many of those men, these ladies are stronger than we are? And every man said, amen. Amen. I give you ladies credit. Glory to God. But that birthing process, the labor pains are only indicators that something's coming forth. Listen to me. When you start to intercede, there will be some discomfort too. Sometimes you got to push through those things. Amen. Sometimes what comes out of your mouth may not be totally what you want to say either. You did this to me! I hate you! Amen? I mean, sometimes things can flow out of there. Right? Come on. Your hair can get all messed up and hello. But how many knows that when it's formed, somebody's going to pay that birthing pains in prayer. There's going to be some agony calling out. But you know what's going to happen? New converts. Amen? It's the mature church that can birth new converts. The Lord has prepared us for such a time that we need to be there. True? In Isaiah 66, verse 7 and 8, before she was in labor, listen, she gave birth, her pains came, and she was delivered of that. Listen, God knows those pains are there. And right now in my prayer time, it's like I'm coming against strongholds. And it's like, it feels like it pushes back. It feels like it pushes back. But you know what? If you keep pushing on that, you gain victory. And sooner or later, it comes through. It's serious business. The enemy wants, he's after souls. More than ever, you see it everywhere. And now there's a whole generation that's grown up that knows not God. Previous generations had some type of form. They heard about Sunday school. I've met teenagers now that have never heard the name of Jesus, but only in a cuss word. Knows nothing, nothing about redemption. Nothing about what Jesus has done. It's like totally foreign. I mean, we have some work to do. The church needs to be about his Father's business. Amen? Elisha prayed 7 times that it might not rain, then it brought forth rain. How many knows that there's a number of completion? Pray till it's completed. He who sows in tears will reap in joy. Sometimes there's groanings in Romans. You got it within you. You travail in Zion. Listen to me, you start to work those things. Well, don't give up with it. Keep pushing. Keep praying. Start to join with one another. Let's believe God for families. I have a list for my family that I have memorized it in prayer. Not just recite it like I'm moving something along, like it means nothing. But no, for Kim and Tim and Teresa and Sherry and Heather and Bob and Ron, for Lori and Marge. I mean, it's right there. Lord, cover them in prayer. Write down that list. Write down, pray. Begin to believe. If you know the need, speak that before the King. A church that prays, you'll see things become more intense. And you'll also know a great falling away too. But how much more the glory of God returns. We need to see it, church. Is anybody with me? You got it quiet today. Come on, this is serious business intercession. Ignorance is costly. In 2 Corinthians 2, verse 11, lest Satan should get an advantage over us, but we are not ignorant of his devices. I shared with the first service. Listen, we just can't look good. Amen? Look at me, I'm all that and lack anointing. Come on, we have to be there. I know Allie and I have had this conversation. You just can't like come up and go, you know what? We all sound good. We're all polished. Look at us. Nobody walks like that. Come on. You can look good. You can have it all down. You can have it so polished. Oh, wasn't that so wonderful? Wonderful. And lack anointing. It's the anointing that breaks the yoke. Now, I can't sing a lick. I really can't. I shared with the first service when I was a college pastor. We had a girl leading our worship. One day, she just disappeared. I don't know what happened to her. She's just, whoop, gone. The worship team said to me, you know what? Do you know where the leader is? I go, no, I really don't. Jeff said she was raptured and we all got left behind. But so I remember in that service, it was right before service, I found out. Don't know where the worship leader is. So I prayed, Lord, I did honestly. I'm all by myself. Lord, gift me in the name of Jesus. Lord, flow through me. Let me sing like the angels. Lord, give my hands, Lord, that I could just play, Lord, and lead this worship. It'd be awesome in Jesus' name. He didn't do it. It's like he chuckled from heaven. And then I heard this in my spirit. My grace is sufficient for you. Amen? I was honest with the group. I go, I don't know what happened to the worship leader, but we're still going to have service today. Amen? Listen, if God gifts you or not, you can still pray. But I just don't want us to look good and lack anointing. There should be anointing when we come to service. You bring it with you. You're a water dispenser. Make sure there's nothing plugging it. Now, if you ever had an older home with old lead pipes, sometimes you would turn it on and a chunk of rust would go, whoop. Anybody know what I'm talking about? You have all perfect homes. We lived in some old homes with well water. And there were times we're like, ugh, thank you, Jesus. And my dad would say, just let it run for a while to get clean. I'm thinking in my head, yeah, maybe clean, but man, that's what we had. Now I know there's purifiers. We got all that. That's all good stuff. I don't want it to have dirty water to give to somebody to drink. Amen? It matters what you do on Saturday. I said, it matters what you do. We're in this together, all of us. It should be a say, you know what? I want to have this time with you. And I want to say this to you, the board, the pastors, they are the same as you see here on Sunday outside of here. Allie was over our house on Friday. You know what we talked about? Missions, music, loving God. That was the center of the conversation. Amen? I want you to know that Allie loves the Lord. She really does. I'm making sense that in her worship. She really wants to be what God wants her to be. So in that, I applaud that. Amen? But we need to have a shout again in the church. Jesus shouted even as a prophetic utterance. He said in Matthew 27, verse 50, and Jesus cried out a loud voice and yielded up the Spirit. Actions that speak and words that perform is what we need. There are times that we'll have a shout in the house. You want to know why? Because it drives the enemy out. I said it drives the enemy out. Sometimes, you know, think of this. How would you like to have a giant wall that you could drive a chariot on? It keeps out all the invading forces. And God tells you, I don't want you to bring a tank. I don't want you to bring a bomb. I want you to bring some musical instruments. And I want you to walk 7 times around this once every day. And on the 7th day, I want all of you to yell and scream as loud as you can. Praise the Lord, the walls will fall. How many here would be like, yeah? Or how many would go, I can't do 7 days? Oh. Let's get real. He's asking all of them to do this. Would we be willing to pay the price to see the walls fall? How about this? On the 5th day, didn't we just do this 5 times already? Oh, 2 more. Does he know what tomorrow? Man, I got things to do. Yes or no? I just want to stay in bed. I got things to do. Okay, day six. One more day. Okay, one more day. Usually at the seventh day, we don't have the same strength we had on the first day. But God wants you to have the same strength. And when he says, I want you to shout, I want you to mean it. And notice they followed in obedience. I believe there's probably a few grumblers. Probably. There always is. But what would happen if you were right there and all of a sudden these giant walls, it's like the earth opened and they fell and they walked right up. How many would be like, cool. And how many would be gripped like, ooh, Lord, I'm sorry if I had a bad attitude. Let's not look at the results. Let's walk in the results. The walls are coming down. So every day, Lord, you're weakening them. You're weakening them. You're getting ready. I wonder what he was doing during those 7 days. I wonder what he was arranging in all those 7 days. The wall was going to be easy. Preparing the hearts took a whole lot of work. And now you'll see what you prayed for. But notice the walls did not come down until they shouted, until they played. Are you with me? We need to join together. There needs to be a roar in the house, a shout in the house. Obedience to God brings response from God. We're releasing our faith. That word released accomplishes its purpose. For them, it was a prophetic action. March, shout, boom. Just do that. Sometimes we can't even do that. Our job was not even to knock the walls down. No one had a chisel out there. No one had a sledgehammer. Amen? Think about the victory, what it took. Walking around and opening our mouth. We're pretty good at that. Say amen. Amen. We're pretty good at walking around and opening our mouth. God gave us what we were good at. That's why the marriage supper of the Lamb will be first, because we're really good at eating. So at least we'll get that part right. Oh, it's pretty quiet in here. In Exodus 14, verse 21, there was a prophetic action when Moses stretched out his hand over the sea. Why did God need that? What's in your hand, Moses? Stretch it out. There are certain times the Lord will impress me. Tell the people to lift their hands. You know what I'm expecting? The people to lift their hands. Why? Because God wants to do something. There's a prophetic action with that. Why did God ask him to stretch over the water? Because that's what he wanted to do. I want to be obedient. I'm having this prayer meeting tonight from 5 to 6 because the Lord told me to. I am cautious when I share that publicly because I never want to lead the people outside, but he told me he wanted me to do this. So I'm doing it out of obedience because there's something he wants to do and I want to be obedient to what he wants to do. Amen? Well, you know the story. They were out in the desert. They needed food and God says, strike the rock. That makes zero sense at all. That makes no sense at all. Strike the rock and water will come out. Until they found out the rock was Christ. Say amen. Could you imagine a desert and all of a sudden water begins to flow? Oh, too cool. God will always take care of his people. Amen. What if it got so bad in the world, and I'm not saying the Lord said this, but what if he said, hey, I want everyone to go by the gangster lean shed we have back there. I show it as a gangster lean, all right? And if you stand right there, water will come up out of the ground. Everyone bring a bucket and you'll get water. How many think we'd want to follow along with that? Or just, you know, die of thirst. No, I'll bring a bucket. You have to be obedient when the Lord speaks. Now, I'm glad that we can turn our taps and we're good to go. But I don't know how many liberties we're going to have in these last days. Pastors in Canada are already being monitored for their preaching. They are. Their freedoms are becoming less and less. Those who are preaching the true gospel. How close are we, you guys? I'm still going to preach what Christ gives me. Amen? They lock me up, just start a prison ministry, come see me. Amen? My great-grandfather spent time in a prison for preaching the gospel. He was arrested by Hitler's henchmen. The SS came in and arrested him during the war. My grandma said she didn't know if she'd ever see her husband again. Then after the war, he comes walking through the door. Isn't that cool? Somehow he was spared. And he vowed to take all his books and send them to East Germany when the wall was built. And before he passed away, he put all this printed material. They stuck them in tires in vehicles to drive over the border. When they got over there, they took the tires off, took the books out. Isn't that cool? God has a way. Somebody prayed. Somebody needs to declare, like a prophetic declaration. Jeremiah 6, verse 18, hear nations, hear congregation, hear those who are among. Jeremiah 22, verse 29, a prophetic declaration. O earth, hear the word of the Lord. How about this? Michigan, come to Christ. Come on. Say what God says. Confession is good seed. You're putting that in the ground. We need it. The world needs it. And gosh, the Lord wants us to. I want to flow that river. I want to be that fountain that God flows through. I want to be a conduit that God wants to speak words here. He wants to use human form. And hear me. The angelic hosts are ready to serve the righteous, not just to get a date, but to encounter what the King is, to accomplish His will. Then, Lord, I want to do that. You got all of heaven's resources at your beckoning. You got the keys to the kingdom, but you got to use the right words. Say amen. Forcible words are right words. Satan, you have no hold on my family in the name of Jesus. I come against every work of the enemy in Jesus' name. Amen. Father, open up their eyes to see that they may know the hope of their calling. I bring down every stronghold, every argument in the name of Jesus. God will gift you and enable you. And you know what? You'll accomplish what God wants. But if we don't pray, we're just another person on the planet. We're null and void of the power that we could be walking in. Let's do it, church. If one can put 1,000 to flight, two can put 10,000, what can a whole church do? There are more people in this room right now to start a revival than most revivals that have ever broken out, not only in this country, but in this world. All it takes is a few dedicated souls. Amen? You have the key, unlock it. Well, I don't know. Lord, then the Lord will gift you to pray and unlock that. But once it's unlocked, push it open. Find out what's on the other side of that. Amen? I've got a river of life flowing out of me. It makes the lame to walk, the blind to see, opens prison doors, sets the captives free. I have a river of life. Hallelujah. We come in with the word of life upon us. Now, what if all of us in prayer, the Holy Spirit directed us, and say it was XYZ person right here, and the Lord laid on your heart, my heart, the whole church's heart, and the altar call is given, Holy Spirit comes upon. Can we do it? Come on, we can do it. People can be driving by, like Jeff shared. You know what? I need to go in. I need to be there. Lord, I need that. You can be at work and the Holy Spirit can impress you to pray for your boss. Pray for your boss. Once they know you're a believer, just look for opportunities. Too much salt makes somebody gag. But a little seasoning, that's different. That tastes different. And when there's a need, they'll definitely look you up. Our families, sometimes it seems like it's the hardest ones. Sometimes those closest to us, even Jesus, I preached at my own hometown, they wouldn't even listen to me. Sometimes that's true, but still pray, amen? God can still work. How many have family members that need a touch? Let me see your hand. Somebody you may work with or go to school with needs a touch. Let me see your hand. Even in the church, people need prayer. If you can't make it this evening, then set a time aside that you'll seek the Lord unplugged. I'm going to pray. But I need a regimen of prayer from you. Will you do that? Wow, go to that church, they put you to work. Wow, you go to that church, they ask you to pray. You go to that church, and man, they ask you to read the Bible. Mama. How many of us we need to... You're not supposed to laugh at your own jokes. How many of us we need to grow up in Him? Grow up in Him, bless God. My role as a pastor is to lead in paths of righteousness. But bless God, I'm going to see revival in my lifetime. And Michigan, you're coming to Christ. Our families are coming to Christ. The people you know are coming to Christ. And God's going to bring them in the name of Jesus. He's not willing that any should perish, but all come to repentance. Glory to God. I'm here there, church. Let's meet with Him and let's pray. It will inconvenience you, I guarantee it. Seven times around the wall, that seems like too many times, but that's what God wanted. So step out of your normal comfort zone and say, Lord, here am I. Here am I, Lord. Somebody in heaven will go, thank you. I guarantee it. The Lord will say, they prayed for you. I did this. And somebody, I know this for a fact, will go, thank you for laying down your life for me. Can you imagine the overwhelming feeling you'll have? That you'll think back, I did so little. I just walked around the wall and I spoke. That's all I did. And God did everything else. Thank you, Lord Jesus. And He'll thank you for just doing what He asked. That's all He asked. Just do what He says. The miracle happened with the wine. Just do what He says. Just do what He says. And you'll see everything in your life be what it's supposed to be. It's a promise. You'll lack no good thing. You enjoy this morning? Father, thank you for this time. Now make this your own personal altar. Lord, let me be that person. Lord, I'm selfish in my ways. Lord, considering the needs of others, not only carrying their burdens, but carrying them away. Lord, if they're free, they're burden free. Father, let us all enter into that intercession. It means to meet with you, to meet with God, to go between. Lord, let us be that. First of all, with you. Lord, then for others. Lord, lay upon our hearts, Lord God, to intercede, to come against every stronghold in this state of Michigan, over this country in the name of Jesus. And Lord, empower us. As we close here this morning, I never want to take it for granted. Is there anyone here this morning say, Pastor?